The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
In the very near future, people in Ireland may need to prove that they are over 18 to access porn and other adult content online. Similar to UK laws around age verification, Irish people may need a digital government ID to visit porn websites with the aim of protecting under 18s from viewing harmful videos and images. So is it a positive step? Would it work? Will it be effective? To discuss all of this, I'm joined by the director of the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute, Ruth Breslin, and News Talk's tech correspondent, Jess Kelly. Jess, I'll start with you just to find out exactly what is proposed here. A government ID to be used to restrict those who can visit porn websites. So how might that work?
So Claire, this is part of the Online Safety Code, which has been ongoing in terms of its development over the last number of years. And as of last July, there were meant to be robust age verification mechanisms on websites that contain adult content. This also ties into the conversations you and I have been having over the last little while around restrictions to social media and the protection of our young people online. All of this, the establishment of the Online Safety Commissioner, is to try and make the internet a safer place. What's being proposed here is the same digital ID, the age verification tool that we've spoken about in the context of social media, being utilised for access to adult material. You reference what's happened in the UK. So that came in last year, whereby they do have to upload a form of digital age verification to gain access to these websites. My understanding with the Irish solution is that this will be within the digital wallet. And if and when you go to access an adult website, because the digital wallet is on your device will do essentially a handshake with the website saying, yes, this person is over 18, they're good to go. It should not be the case that it is Claire Byrne or Jess Kelly with this date of birth from this place wants to access this website. It's simply a tip of the head that this is somebody who's over 18 and in they go.
But you won't need, I mean, we've been told you won't need your government digital ID to access any of the government services. So that means that it won't be a required thing that you would have to have this in your digital wallet, right? So that means that there will be some people who have it and some people who don't. How will that work?
The way it will work is that if you want to access these websites, you need to be able to verify that you're over 18. The way, you know, if you go onto a website that sells alcohol at the moment or any website that has materials that's not suitable for under 18s, right now you can just put in a date of birth. So you could do 2026 minus 18 and put in a false date of birth. Or in some instances, you can hit, yes, I'm over 18 and in you go. That's not robust age verification. The internet, as we know it, is changing. And so if you want to access social media, if you want to access websites like this, you will need to have this because regardless of whether or not you're an adult, the internet won't know that by default. So it will be a requirement for you to get access to these websites.
Yeah, but now there'll be privacy concerns are raised around this. I mean, you can hear that already that people will have an issue with this. But there's another question mark here. People can use VPNs, can't they, to bypass this? And it is happening already in other jurisdictions.
It is, yeah. And this is sort of a major headache for anybody looking to do any form of policing of the internet because a VPN, the virtual private network, it's very easy to get one onto your device. Some of them require payment. The better ones require payment. But again, they are affordable. People use them. I have one for work, for example, so it means I can access the News Talk server from home. There's legitimate reasons why people would have them. But the VPN does mean that people, you know, kids in Australia, for example, have been using them to bypass their social media ban. It's difficult to see if the Irish solution will circumvent the VPN question because it's going to be ingrained at a device level. So me using a VPN, if I use a VPN now to access an American website to buy something, for example, that'll work in that instance, but it won't give me automatic access to the US App Store on my phone because my App Store is embedded in my device and it's set to Ireland. So it depends on the execution of the solution, how effective this digital ID will be. But as you say, there absolutely are, and there have been so many debates around the privacy point of view. People don't want this type of ID. They don't want their PPS number being associated with their behaviours online for a myriad of reasons, which I think is fair enough. But the reality is we have to do something to address it. The issue that I would have, Claire, is that this might work if I'm going to a website that is absolutely, without question, containing adult content. What it won't protect against, however, is if you send me content via WhatsApp, via Snapchat, via any of the other messaging apps that exist. So it'll only be effective on websites where it's obvious this content is.
Okay.
We know, and anyone who's been online will know, that this information is everywhere.
All right, Jess, thank you very much for that overview. Let's go, as I said, to Ruth Breslin, who's with us, Director of the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute. And Ruth, from your point of view, I would imagine that you welcome this. The sooner the better.
Yes, the sooner the better. And it's something we've been recommending for a number of years now, since we first did our research back in 2024 with Women's Aid, that was really looking at the link between pornography consumption and the perpetration of violence against women and girls. So here today, obviously, we're talking specifically about pornography platforms and pornographic content. And I think it's really important, first off, to just say, what do we actually mean by that? I mean, pornography has evolved massively over the last 20 years. Acts that were once in the niche are now entirely in the mainstream. So the international research is telling us that nearly 9 in 10 scenes in pornography contain a form of physical aggression, and that almost all of that aggression is directed towards women. So we are talking about, and I'm sorry, you know, to kind of give a content warning for listeners, but we are talking about content that contains women being slapped, being whipped, being called horrendous derogatory names, having to engage in extremely forceful sex, being strangled, all of these kind of acts that are extremely violent. Essentially, what the research is telling us is that nowadays mainstream pornography on the most acceptable of platforms is saturated with sexual violence,
and that's where people are getting their early sexual education from. In some cases,
absolutely. So young people in our research, we're doing research at the moment with transition year students, and they are telling us that this is exactly what they're seeing when they're going to these platforms. They, or indeed when the pornography is reaching them through their social media, through their gaming, when they're, you know, filming, streaming movies, pornography content is reaching them, and this is the kind of content they're seeing. They are seeing sexual violence. But this is at a time when, you know, their brains are developing, young people are obviously naturally interested in sex, and they want to understand more. And the boys in our research are telling us that they're going to pornography to learn what to do in sex. And what they're taking away from that is that they need to be dominant. They need to be aggressive. They need to pull the girl's hair. They need to spank her. They need to even potentially strangle her, which obviously has life-threatening consequences. Meanwhile, the girls are telling us that they're going to pornography to learn what the boys expect from them. And girls are saying that they realise that they're required to be submissive, to do whatever he wants and whatever pleases him, and essentially to go along with and quote-unquote consent to whatever the boy demands. This is extremely problematic, and the research is so clear now, Claire, that pornography is shaping young people's sexual scripts and adults as well. So essentially shaping their sexual behaviour, their sexual expectations, and they're bringing that behaviour into the real world, into their real world sexual encounters.
So Ruth, this solution that we've heard about, and Jess has gone through it there very carefully with us, and it seems to me that what is proposed, this use of the government ID, the digital ID, it's sort of a sticking plaster. You know, it will block some of it, not all of it. There's the VPN issue. There's also,
sure,
you know, porn being sent around on messaging apps. It's not going to fix it, is it?
Well, I think it is a really important step forward. No measure like this is ever going to be perfect, okay? But we put age verification measures in on other things that we've established are clearly harmful for children and young people. So alcohol is one example. You know, we know that some young people will get around the alcohol ban for under 18s, but that doesn't mean we just throw the ban in the bin, you know. I think we have got to really work on preventing young people's access to this kind of content. And an awful lot of young people are stumbling over this by accident. They're not going looking for it. It is coming to them. And the consensus in all of our research amongst all the experts we spoke to is that young people should not have access to this content because of the harm it causes. But I want to point out a really perverse situation we have on this island. In Northern Ireland, if you are a young person and you actively attempt to access pornography, you are prevented by age verification under the UK's Online Safety Act. Right now, all the content I've just described is freely available to any person of any age in the Republic of Ireland. They just need to tick the click the button that says, yes, I'm over 18. So we have a very bizarre situation where young people in Northern Ireland are being protected from this content and our young people down south are not. So I think absolutely we need to go with every measure we can. And yes, VPNs, okay, some people will find a way around, but the young people in our research are saying that they're seeing this content as young as 12. And some of them have seen it as young as 7. Those young people don't know about VPNs, those children. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, there's also an argument here down the line for maybe age verifying VPNs. Is there any reason children should have VPNs? Perhaps we should be applying an age verification gateway to them in the first place.
And Ruth, your counterparts, who I'm sure you speak to in the UK, do they tell you that it's working, the controls in place there?
It is working. Again, it's not a silver bullet. It's not perfect. But there are reports of huge reductions in visits to some of the most mainstream pornography sites. Pornhub is the case in point. There is reports of between a 44% all the way up to a 77% reduction in access to that site once they brought in this age verification measure. So the fact of the matter is you know, the young people are being protected. They're not stumbling across this content as much as they had been in the past. And very interestingly, when we talk to young people in transition year, they're actually asking for these measures. They're asking for the government to bring in these measures. They're saying, I'm sorry I saw this content when I was so young. I found it upsetting and distressing. I want to protect my younger brothers and sisters from this content. So I think if the government were to listen to young people, the young people would actually tell them, this is not stuff we want to be exposed to. They even tell us, you know, that their brains and their development, they're not ready to see such kind of hardcore, violent, problematic material. And they don't want it to be influencing their sexual behaviour and their future sexual relationships.
What would you say to adults who want to access this material and would now have very serious concerns, privacy concerns around having to use a digital government ID to look at these sites?
I think if they want to access this material, they still can because they just have to verify that they're over 18. I understand that there are privacy concerns, but I don't think for 1 minute that those should top or be prioritised over the safety of our children and young people. You know, this is a serious safeguarding issue we have here with young people's sexual behaviour being shaped in incredibly harmful ways. And we need to tackle it immediately. And I think that trumps every single time, you know, privacy concerns about adults who want to access pornography.
All right, we'll leave it there. Ruth Breslin, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Ruth is the Director of the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.